Amen. You may be seated. Kids are dismissed this morning. I hope you have your Bibles with you this morning as we gather into the book of Exodus, whether you're with us in person or online. So last week we started this series about the sovereignty of God in Exodus chapter 1. We were reminded that God is sovereignly aware of our circumstances. He's sovereignly aware of our struggles. And so now we're going to go to the last half of chapter 1 in Exodus. And again, the timing of this couldn't have been any more divine as we consider everything that we're going through, confirming why he wanted us to wait until we got into the beginning of 2021. Because now we're going to look at that today, God is in control. Now, at first, you're going to think, well, what's the difference between God is sovereign and God is in control? Aren't they the same? Oh, no, actually, no, they're different. And when God is sovereign, that means he's above all. There's no one more sovereign than him. There's no one more righteous than him. There is no one more holy than him. It was he who created the heavens, the earth, the stars, everything, and it's he who sustains it all. He is sovereign. There is no other. Today we talk about sovereign nations, sovereign royalty. In other words, they're the top dog. Now, I'm not calling God a dog. What I'm saying is that he is above all. Now, in this last half, we take good comfort knowing that God is sovereign. But there's a real good question we have to ask ourselves, an honest question is God in control? In other words, Did he create everything, then sit back and watch it all fall to pieces and not intervene? Or did our sovereign God decide to be involved in the lives and in the agenda of mankind? Does he orchestrate things in our lives? Does he have everything under his control? But when we look around, it's hard sometimes to see the evidence of God's control, because doesn't it look like things are just nothing but chaos out there? But if you do watch the mainstream media, and then you listen to what we say on Sundays, or you listen to Bible scholars and other teachers of the Word, it seems like there are two ships heading in two opposite directions today. It seems like everything's out of control. Yes, God is in control, and yes, it seems like everything's out of control. Let's expose the Word in a timely fashion to why we can say God is in control even when seemingly everything is out of control. So we look at Exodus chapter 1. God's going to show that he is not only sovereign, but he's also in control. And we're going to see that through two women, two midwives. And one of them is named Shapura, and the other one is Pua. But these two women believed in God, and they trusted that God was in control, not only in word, but in action. Now, that is a sermon we can stop right there. Believing that God is in control is one thing, but allowing him to be in control is something completely different. It's almost as if those songs really, we meant what we sung a moment ago. And through these two women this morning, we're going to see that God was in control in the Egyptians and the Israelites, and he's still in control today. So let's get to our text this morning. Let's go to chapter 1 of Exodus. We're going to pick it up where we left off last week. We're going to pick up with verse 15 of chapter 1. And then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shipra and Pura. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. Verse 17, but because, oh, I love that word. Have you ever heard me say that before? But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. How many think those are amazing women? Rebellious women. Don't you love rebellious women? Not in your home, but don't you love rebellious women? They refused the king's orders, and they allowed the boys to live. So, was that 18? The king of Egypt called for the midwives. In other words, come to the principal's office. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? Now, he probably said it a lot more stern than I did, and maybe with a lot of anger in his voice. The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. Remember last week, the bunnies? Okay, part two here. They are more vigorous, and they have their babies so quickly that we can't get there on time. Honey, I'm going into labor. Oh, honey, you have a boy. Verse 20, so God was good to midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more in power. I like verse 21. That's one that's very highlighted in my Bible. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. That is so significant. And then it closes with verse 22, which is a segue into the next chapter and the next couple studies that we're going to go through. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all of his people, not these midwives, but now to all the people. Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you can let the girls live. You got to see that first God showed his sovereignty, and now he is in control of what's happening. And we're going to see there are three ways that God basically said in these few verses that he's in control. First, we see that God was in control by giving courage to these two women. Now, how many of you ever stood up to a boss? Now, just before you had to stand up to a boss, how did you feel inside? All right, what about if you have stood up to a person in government? Maybe local government. Maybe you had to go to the mayor to say something. How did you feel inside? What if you had a chance to talk with a governor of this fine state of California? Now, when they had to be brought in front of Pharaoh, it was beyond the governor, beyond the president. This is the sovereign king. See, God gave women to courage to these women. Pharaoh, we have to understand, he saw how fast the Israelites were growing. And as the Israelite population grew, we know they're more than 2 million. Not only did he grow in fear because of his own safety, his own future, but mostly because of his control. He was, in fact, the Egyptians were the polytheistic in terms of their worship. They worship everything and everyone. And on the top of the list, just like in the Roman culture, the emperor was on top of the list as deity. In the Egyptian world, Pharaoh was also a god. And so we have to understand that for some reason, he was so concerned that these slaves, they would destroy his future and ultimately his control. Now Pharaoh, he tried many things. Last week we discovered that he doubled, tripled the work of the Egyptians trying to break them down. And so if they would be broken down in exhaustion working out all these days, they wouldn't have time to go on a date with their spouse, if you know what I mean. And so he thought that he would just exhaust them with work and burden them. But the word said last week that they grew even more and more popular, or their population grew and also their power. That didn't work. God blessed them even more. Let's crush them now and crush their potential future. I want all the male boys to be killed immediately, thus securing the elimination of problems, population, and that power. Now, it's a little bit of a debate to the nationality of these midwives. Some believe that they were Egyptian. Some believe that they were Hebrew. Now, it doesn't matter to me what nationality they are, but what matters, what's fascinating, is it's great to see even if they were Egyptian and even if they were Jewish. Let me break this down. If these women were Egyptian, I love verse 17, it says, but the midwives feared God. How would they begin to fear Jehovah, the God of Israel? Well, if they were truly Egyptian, they would fear Pharaoh above all, right? But these two women feared Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews. How did that happen? Well, I think there's two reasons that come to my mind. Number one, this, but the miracle of a baby being born. Now, I know wives, women, a lot of you have been there. Some of us men have been there. And maybe we didn't make it all the way through the process, but we started there. And just the miracle of birth, you can't explain how miraculous that birth is. And these women every day saw the miracle of godly divine birth. The child that was within the womb, the child that was made in the image of God, being birthed into this world, is truly miraculous. Maybe that's one of the reasons they saw God in creation. Don't you know? You can see God in creation. You may not understand who his name is, but you can see and you know that there is a God. And that Pharaoh sitting on that gold throne, he had nothing to do with it. Or, I like this one. If they were midwives, they were surrounded by Jewish women. I don't know if you've ever been around a Jewish woman before. When I spent time in Israel, I saw Jewish women. And a lot of them are not timid. They're not shy. They let their thoughts and feelings be known. And I believe when the Bible says to these Hebrews that you are supposed to be a witness of mine to all the Gentiles, and we see that also in the New Testament, I believe that these possible Egyptian midwives saw the fingerprint of God in these Hebrew women. And they loved what they saw, and they witnessed to these Egyptian women. And these Egyptian women fell in love with Yahweh. And not only did the mother give birth to a child, the mother also gave birth spiritually to these possibly Egyptian midwives. And they were God's representatives. Boy, it almost gives you a little bit more of a perspective when Jesus tells us to love our enemy. Why are we supposed to love our enemy? Because it points them to God. They see God in us and through us. And I don't know about you ladies, but boy, when you're in labor and giving birth, evangelistic preaching is probably not the first thing on your mind, isn't it? But these women, they said the Hebrews were vigorous. Not only I believe in birthing children, but birthing the light of God everywhere they went. That's pretty exciting. Maybe they were Egyptian, and maybe they began to fear God because God was in control, and he knew these midwives would be surrounded by these Hebrew women, and they would see God. And so God chose to use them in his sovereignty and in control. He used them, and they gave him the ability to stand up against Pharaoh. And they knew Pharaoh was evil, that his deed, what he commanded them to do, was not natural, to kill a newborn baby. Does that seem humanly natural? It's against every fiber of your body. And if you would just for a minute possibly remove your politics from that, it is against every page of my Bible to snuff out a life that God created in his image. God ordained every single one of their lives before they were even yet born. But some people are so pharaohistic in their approach that they see this baby boy, as a ploy, as a tool to get another agenda taken care of. And I believe if these women were truly Egyptian, they saw the preciousness of life that was in the womb of this dear Jewish woman and then came out, was birthed, and they saw the face of God every single birth. That's why we stand. That every life matters, whether that life is in the womb still or the life is outside the womb. And I cannot stand, nor can I ever promote anyone, especially governors today, who will support and tell you through your tax dollars to pay for abortions, even up to birth. But pastor, you should be more concerned about the social justice, equality, taking care of those who are homeless. Yes, we should. But how in the world can I turn my head? The God who designed life designed it to be protected. I believe that these could have been Egyptian women who saw the hand of God every single day. Those vigorous women. That's probably a pretty good compliment, ladies. What if they were Jewish women? Well, first, think about how difficult it might have been for these Jewish women if they were midwives to help their sisters, their aunts, their neighbors give birth, and I'm supposed to murder that child of yours. How humanly impossible could that be? You'd have to be evil. I can't believe that these Jewish midwives would ever succumb to that. Maybe they feared Pharaoh more than they feared God. If they were Jewish midwives, I like how the story goes. They knew that God was sovereign and not Pharaoh. They knew that God was in control and not Pharaoh. They knew that they had to love and obey God and not Pharaoh. And they chose to stand up for something that lately we've called truth and righteousness. If they were Jewish women, they have known since their own birth how God views the sanctity of life and how God calls every single person, male and female, as precious in his stand up. Isn't that something that we need today? Today, we also need courage to be able to stand firm against that which is evil, but now maybe be calling good. We need to stand firm against what the Bible says in Ephesians 6, rulers and principalities of a dark world, evil forces in this world. We are called to stand up with courage. Bible says three times in Ephesians 6, stand firm. Stand firm and continue standing firm. What do you need to stand firm? Courage. Strength. How many of you love the worship team this morning leading us in those wonderful songs? See, these great high priests in the Bible, these Levitical priests, led us into worship so that we could hear the word of God. And now I want the worship team to remind you what it means to take courage in a God who's not only sovereign, but take courage in the God who's in control, even if it seems in your perspective that he's not in control. Because I don't know about you, I have a whole list of things that God, I said this last week, he needs to get back into the smiting business. There's a lot of things happening in this world that are spinning out of control and the chaos of this world. But let the worship team now lead you, not only in worship, but in the word as they share right now.
Ephesians 6:11 says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil.
Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so we'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing.
1 Peter 5:9. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers is going through the same kind of suffering you are.
1 Corinthians 15:58. Dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do will be useless.
1 Corinthians 16:13, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong.
James 5:8, you too be patient, take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, my friends. Second way that we saw that God is in control is going to be that he gave these two women wisdom. You notice that God gave them wisdom after they exercised courage. Think about this for a second. Pharaoh gave an order to kill all male newborns immediately. But these two women, they refused. They courageously stood up to him, and they said no. And so word got out to Pharaoh, the Egyptian god. What do you mean these two women said no to me? Now, if there were 2 million-plus Hebrews, and let's say maybe half of them were women, I believe that these women had a full-time job, don't you, in giving birth, especially since God was helping them multiply so quickly. And Pharaoh said, bring these two women in. Imagine, Pharaoh knew where these two women lived, sent soldiers, knocked on their door. Pharaoh wants to see you. It's almost like getting a letter from the IRS. But worse than that. So as they were dragged maybe or taken out of their homes, what do you think they might be thinking inside their head right now? I've got it in Hebrew. I can translate it for you if you want. Oh no. Now what are we going to do? They disobeyed. They didn't, Romans 13, obey the authorities in the land. Why? Because of evil authorities. There were evil orders, and you are never, ever called to obey evil orders and evil authorities. You always stand up for truth and righteousness, even if you're an Egyptian or a Jew, but especially if you're a Christ follower, you stand up for truth and righteousness. When they're walking, going to see Pharaoh, I think they had two options. Number one, maybe they were saying, let's leave town. How many of you would rather escape, get away from this? I would have probably thought that a lot. How can I get away from this? How can I move out of How can I avoid being in the boiling pot? I need to get away from this. You know, God never told you to run from the battle. God never told you to stick your hand behind your back and let someone tie it for you. God certainly never has told you to bury your head in the sand and pretend that there are not evil forces going on in this world. And if you stand up against an evil ruler, no matter what power, position they have, you may be held accountable to standing up for Christ. Oh, I wish I could have found a verse in the Bible that says, stand up, be courageous. But if you get caught, run. It's not biblical, is it? You publicly stand up for truth and righteousness. Even when people are yelling at you, sit down and shut up. And if you don't, we're going to pull the plug. Jesus and the apostles never had a plug to be pulled. They spread the word of the gospel person to person, person to person. And when the Roman officials told Peter and the rest of the apostles, do not declare the name of Jesus Christ anymore, what did they do? They shouted even louder, preached it even stronger. We're going to throw you in jail. And they were the first ones to say, well, then I guess we're going to have a jail ministry. And they did. We can read in Exodus over and over and over. Those people in that worship service, they couldn't leave when it got uncomfortable. But they sought the Lord with courage and faith. And God gave them wisdom to speak. And these two women were given wisdom. What would you have said to Pharaoh? Now they know plan A wouldn't have worked. They can't escape. Like some of us try to do today or want to do today. And by the way, when we say, Lord, just come now. Are you really ready for him to come now? Or are there certain things that he still needs to accomplish in you and through you? Maybe instead of that natural tendency to run away and not face the firing squad, Daniel, and not face the lion's den or the fiery furnace, they chose to courageously stand up before Pharaoh and say, I don't care what's going to happen. I don't care what he's going to say to me. I don't care what he's going to do to me. I care what the sovereign God who's in control is going to say to me when I stand up and for the truth and righteousness. And I don't care if it's going to create an enemy. And their response to him when he says, why have you disobeyed me? Then I think wisdom came pouring down into their lives. I don't believe, and now this is me reading in after a couple pots of coffee this morning. I firmly believe that after they decided to stand up and be courageous, God says, now I'm going to give you a word. You see, God gives you a word when you're faithful. He gives you the spiritual knowledge that maybe is not humanly comprehensible in the time and the moment you need it. And I can see biblically over and over, he always gives you the word of the Lord at the right timing of the Lord. And this is what they said. The Hebrew women give birth even before we get there. Now, I think they would have said if they were Hebrew, well, we are more vigorous than your Egyptian women. We just give birth so fast we can't get there. Now, I believe that they were Egyptian because, number one, it reminds me that God is in control, hopefully, of the faithful and those who are not faithful because he's sovereign. He uses. If he can use Nebuchadnezzar, he could use these women as well. They could have lied to Pharaoh. Some think that this was a lie. I don't think it was a lie. I know the population was booming. I know the chart was going higher and higher and higher. And I know that probably these Hebrew women were vigorous and the men were exhausted, but they always had time to love one another. And I believe that God said through these women to Pharaoh, There is nothing you can do to stop a sovereign God and his plans in these Hebrews. There's nothing you can come up with. No man can ever change the will of a sovereign God who's in control. These women were courageous. They were smart. And because they feared God, they allowed God to be in control in the situation. How many of you have been maybe like me? Lord, the chariot's taken us to Pharaoh. Take me now. I don't want to face the possible firing squad. Today we need a lot of wisdom from God, especially when we're trying to deal with a sinful world, a corrupt culture, a divided community, and politicians and rulers not seeking after God. I believe if you're asking for wisdom from God to understand or to stand up through this, yet you're also holding on to fear, I believe that the fear cancels out. It is a barrier to God trying to communicate what it means to walk in faith, not by sight. I believe wisdom comes after you read and meditate on the Word. What happens with a lot of people is when crisis and chaos enters into their life, usually uninvited, we pray. But maybe God has orchestrated that into our lives because he's purging. You know the second thing that we stop doing after we stop praying? Because we can't convince God to take it away from us. We stop reading his word. Where does wisdom come from? The fear of the Lord. And the word of the Lord. God wants to remind us today that these two women, after they courageously stood up for truth and righteousness, God gave them insight, God gave them wisdom. And today we need to hear that as well. God is looking for faithful people who are willing to stand up in an age where things are being so, what did we say earlier? We are so distracted. We're becoming so divided that he's trying to cause us to give up hope. But if you read the word of God, written by the one and only sovereign God, who's in control of all, take hope, be strong and courageous. And God is willing to give those who are faithful to him, not who are fearful, wisdom today. What does the Bible say? Do you need wisdom? What are you supposed to do? Ask for it. And it's not going to come in an email. It's going to come through prayer and reading the Word of God. Listen as the worship team leads us into what it means to be people who seek after God's wisdom as they share some verses with us as words of encouragement today.
James 3:17. Put the wisdom from above is first for all pure. It's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruits of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere.
Pause. Does that sound like wisdom from man today? No. Next.
Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline.
Ephesians 5:15-17. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Be like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do.
Colossians 3:16. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Amen.
Proverbs 9:10. Fear the Lord is a foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment.
Do you receive that this morning, church? Let the word speak truth to you. So we see that courage produced wisdom in these ladies. They were courageous. They knew who their God was, regardless of how powerful the government was. And they spoke the words of God. And when you put courage and wisdom together, do you know what the natural God-designed result will be? Think about it. When you stand up for Christ, and you stand up for truth and righteousness, and then the word of God comes from you, what naturally happens? Everything becomes good? Easy in your life now? No. The blessings of the Lord begin to pour into your lives. Think about what happened to these wonderful two midwives. As a result of courage and wisdom, they received the blessings of God. Now, he'd never said that all your prayers will be answered the way you wanted. Do you understand that? We have a plaque in our kitchen, because we've said this a few times, that I think Ginger and her family gave us this plaque. Said, God always answers prayers. One of a few ways. What's the first one that we like the most? Yes. What's the one we don't like to hear? No. Do you have a third one? Wait. And then there's a fourth one, because our sovereign God created the fourth one. And that fourth one is what? I've got a much better plan. Lord, would you just smite Pharaoh? How many of you would love that God would have smote, got rid of Pharaoh? If God is sovereign and is he in control, could he remove Pharaoh? Why didn't he? Because he had a sovereign plan, and he needed the workers, he needed the soldiers. And I'm telling you, you can be a midwife and be a soldier for Jesus Christ and be used from God just as much as any Billy Graham. So God was blessing these midwives. I love it when it says, now we're in verse 21 and 22, God was good to the midwives and gave them families of their own. Why did you become a midwife? Well, back then, this is huge, my friends, and I cannot emphasize how huge this is. The culture back then saw women as second class. And even sometimes, the possessions of the man, a woman was listed on there. And these poor women that weren't able to give birth of their own, for one reason or another, they weren't even considered second class. And so when these midwives who have been rejected by communities, rejected and not normal, God saw them. And he used them. And he blessed them. The blessings came after two important steps that we have to take in our life. You have to be strong and courageous. We can read in Joshua many times, haven't I told you to be strong and courageous and seek the word in his wisdom and what the Spirit is saying to you? And when you put courage and wisdom together, you have opened up the floodgates of the sovereign God to literally usher in his will in your life. And when the will of God is in your life, the blessings of God will be in your life. But you and I have it backwards. Lord, if you bless us, we'll serve you. Lord, if you bless us, we'll stand up for you. Lord, if you bless us with a word from you, we'll take it. And God says, you know, that's the easy way. That's the American way of doing things. I want you to be people of faith. And when things get rough and trials come your way, I want to see if you're going to consider it pure joy or not. Look at your Facebook followers. Look what's happening in the world. Are your Christian friends, brothers and sisters, celebrating with joy right now? There's a lot of chaos out there. Last week, if you missed last week, you need to make sure you listen to it again. See, the enemy has three goals in these end days: to distract you, to divide you, and to destroy you. We have been so distracted as the church that we're not even willing to meet anymore via Zoom, via online. Whoa, where do you get that, Pastor? Survey came out last week. Again, second time I've read a survey, 48% of online church service viewers have dropped off. Where has 40%+ of the church gone? They said, how come people aren't attending church online anymore? Because they're no longer making a sacrifice of their time and their energy to come. Now, I know some people are not going to be happy with what I just said, but please, I'm not judging you. I am not judging you whatsoever. I believe that the coronavirus is as real as any other virus. I do. But I also believe, and if you don't, I've said this before a few hundred times. If you don't believe me, go listen to all the previous messages. You'll be better for it, and trust me. It is something that was created to cause chaos in the world. No, it's a virus. Yes, I know. And the enemy, as we read last week out of 1 Peter, controls the minds and the wills of those who are not believers in Christ. They're blind. In fact, the Bible says the enemy will blind their eyes to what is truth and righteousness. And I believe that the created coronavirus was to cause chaos and a crisis in the world. And it has been used, now you hopefully won't disagree with me, it has been used as a political pawn in people's lives. There is something to be very mindful of, and that we are practicing, if you know, 6 foot separation. No one's around me. See, no one's around me. We believe if you're sick, you should stay home. That's what my mom taught me. We believe that you need to wash your hands often. Hello, boys. We need to make sure that if you have been exposed to someone who is sick, that you don't become an agent, no matter what you've been exposed to. Be responsible. When has humanity been so dumbified that we cannot be responsible, intelligent beings? If you're sick, you stay home. Plain and simple. If you're vulnerable, protect yourself. Plain and simple. But why let the powers and the prince of this world use it to divide us and distract us and disorientate us? Why has 48% of the church disappeared in online viewership? Because it's easy now. And the enemy will fill that time slot and that desire with something else. Now, I'm not saying that the rest of the people online are not online engaging. I know they are. I know they're with us because we have a few that actually comment to us. Do we got any comments this morning? You're with us, and that's wonderful. But stand up how the Lord has told you to stand up. Be strong and courageous. Be responsible. Do you think the Lord put these two women in harm's way? Yes. He allowed it to happen. Well, obviously, he would never let Daniel get in harm's way. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were willing to be in harm's way, standing up for truth and righteousness out of faith in God, not in fear. God is looking to bless the church in these last days. That's what I read in the book of Revelation. He's looking to bless the remnant, the faithful. And our question we have to answer is, will we be people of faith or people of fear? Will we allow the enemy to distract us? Okay, for how much longer? You thought that when 2020 was over, things were going to go back to normal. There is no normal. We are so consumed with looking in the rearview mirror that we are blind to look in the forward where God has taken us. He says, who's going to be courageous to stand up and say, no? Who's going to have wisdom to speak truth and righteousness? And when you choose to stand up for that, God will bless you. But what happens if you don't choose to stand up for God? You are running the risk of being what the Bible calls the great apostasy. In the end days, the church will be sifted out. Sifted out. The sheep and the goat. But Lord, we did this in your name. We did that in your name. I asked you a week or two ago, maybe a year ago, I don't know. What if you stop praying for blessings and start asking for purgings? Start asking the Lord to make you holy instead of happy. That just changed my prayers, my friend. That has changed the way I have prayed. I, like so many others, have asked the Lord to take it away from me. Take it away from me. After all, didn't Paul say, Lord, take it away from me? And what did God say? No, I'm using that. So God, he has this natural recipe. When you stand up in courage and you have wisdom from God, blessings will come. Here's the truth. Nothing comes into your life that God did not allow or orchestrate. Well, let me quote a verse that we like to quote when things are going good. For we know that God works out all things for those who are called by him. Romans 8:28. God orchestrates all things. Do you think that these women out of Exodus chapter 1 were being used by God because of coincidence? God instance, my friend, God instance. Let me read out of God's word translation, Psalm 46:10. Let go of your concerns. As a result, then you'll know that I am the Lord your God, and that I rule all nations, and I rule the earth. What's the key to knowing that God is in control? Letting go of fear of your concern. I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. If you don't believe me, go ahead and read it in your own. For our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all your troubles. So let us fix our eyes on what is not seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is what? Eternal. Where's your focus? Oh, but Pastor, you should have read what I read this morning on social media. Oh, Pastor, you should have saw what CNBC, CSBN, AB, whatever they are. That report. I just want to remind you that the prince of the power of the airwaves is the enemy of God. The chaos and the confusion that he sows is meant for you to be deceived and to live in fear. Aren't you glad that God gave us the book of Exodus? Aren't you glad that we didn't race through chapter 1? Aren't you glad that chapter 1 taught us that God, he himself, he is sovereign and he is in control even when you think everything's falling apart and you're asking and you're praying, God, do you see what's going on? Oh my goodness. Talk about a smite opportunity. Yes, he sees. The eyes of the Lord, what do? They roam to and fro, seeking what? The righteous ones. Things may get crazy, my friends. God is in control. And he may not be controlling it the way you'd prefer it to be controlled. I understand. I have stomped my feet a few times, God, and said, this isn't right, this isn't fair. And I hear God often say, welcome to my world. That's really what this is all about. Let me close with reading out of Philippians chapter 4 as Paul was writing to the church who was struggling. And let this closing verse be a thumbprint of God in what we said this morning. He says in verse 4 of chapter 4, always be full of the joy of the Lord. And I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Boy, that was pretty broad swiping. Don't worry about anything. Instead, or replace it with prayer. Praying about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. And then the blessings will flow. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can ever understand. His peace will guard your hearts and guard your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Be ready.